If you have your Bibles, the Christmas story of Luke begins right off the top. And we're going to look at Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 17. Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 17. In the days of Herod the king of Judah, there was a priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. They were both advanced in years. Now it happened while he was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were in prayer outside at the hour of the incense offering. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense. Zacharias was troubled when he saw the angel, and fear gripped him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. And you will give him the name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, yet while in his mother's womb. And he will turn away, and he will turn many of the sons back to the Lord their God. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, and the disobedient to the attitude of righteousness, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for being with us this morning as we truly begin our Christmas season. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will be with us, that we will know that your kingdom is here, that Jesus is here. For as we focus our attention on his birth, on the Word becoming flesh, let us hear the words of so many, not only at that time, but down through the ages. Who is this child? Who is this child named Jesus? Thank you, Father, for being with us. Give us your spirit, Lord. Give me your spirit as I speak, so that it is not my words, but yours. Take the loaves and fishes I bring, and by your spirit break them, and bless them, and give them out to all those who are here, so they hear from you, and not me. Thank you, Father, for your blessing and goodness. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Who is this child? Who is this child that the ancients look for? The one who would make all the wrongs in the world right? Who would fix everything? Who is this child that the prophets look for? The one who would be the answer to all of God's promises? The one who would be the answer to all of our prayers. The one who would bring God's power to the earth. Who is this child? And who is this child who brings miracles? Miracles. As Luke begins his story, the story of Jesus, as it opens, it had been 400 years since the book of Malachi ended the Old Testament. 400 years, 400 years of silence from heaven. 400 years without prophets showing up who had been given a word from the Lord. I love Amos, the prophet. He comes and he begins speaking, and the official prophets from the castle, from the palace, come and say, "Who are you? Why? What kind of prophet are you?" He says, "Well, I'm not a prophet. I'm a seasonal worker. I'm a shepherd. I shep. And I pick sycamore figs. And that's what I do." And he said, "Well, there I was, and God came to me and gave me this word. And so when God says go, you go. And so here's the word from God. If you don't like it, talk to him." I love Amos. But for 400 years, there was no Amos after Malachi. 400 years without a word from heaven. 400 years without miracles. 400 years of pain and suffering on the part of the Jewish people. 400 years of cries to heaven only met with deafening silence. You know, it's only been 245 years since the American Declaration of Independence, and only 232 years since the U.S. Constitution was written. And today, people think that was a long, long time ago, and that those documents are out of date. They've outlived their usefulness. By the time the angel came to Zacharias, God had been silent for 400 years. Sometimes we understand what that's like. I remember a lady came to me one day, and yeah, she had a lot going on. She had been divorced. She was originally from England, and so she had no family here, and she was raising a daughter by herself, and she kept hoping against hope that someday her husband would come back, and then he died. And she was devastated. I don't know. I often feel that it would be a short list of women who've had their husbands walk out on them and the kids and then feel devastated after he died. But she did. And she said, "Buddy, I don't know what to do with all of my emotion. I don't know what to do with all that I'm feeling. I pray, and I feel like my prayers hit the ceiling and flutter back down like dead leaves." You ever felt that way? I have. What's it like to feel that way for 400 years? Then we come to Zacharias. Zacharias was a priest in the great temple there in Jerusalem. He had a good name, an appropriate name for this story. For the name Zacharias in Hebrew means Yahweh has remembered. Only descendants of Aaron could be priests. And as such, they were automatically priests. If you were born into that family, you didn't have to worry about what your major was going to be in college. You were going to be a priest in the temple in Jerusalem. Now, it was a good deal. It was a very prestigious position that one was born to. What's more, his wife was a descendant of Aaron. So it was double the prestige. So as a young couple, they were everybody's A-list invitees. Everybody loved them. But as time went by, they had a problem. And they had a big problem because they had no children. In that culture, you were expected to have children. And as a priest, again, where does the priestly line come from? They're not on Indeed. You know, it's all birth. And if you're not birthing, Now, babies come from mothers, right? Yeah. Everybody knows that. I do love Calvin and Hobbes, the cartoon strip, where Calvin comes to his dad and says, "Dad, where did I come from?" And he said, "Walmart. It was a blue light special. We got you for half price." But everybody in that time knew that babies came from mothers. So if a couple couldn't have a baby, well, it's easy, right? First thought was it was simply the mother's fault. That's why it says Elizabeth was barren. But with the Jews, nothing was ever simple. Zacharias and Elizabeth were dealing with another problem that came along with the first one. It's the same problem we see in John chapter 9, because for the Jews, anytime you had a physical problem, like not being able to have a baby, or as in John 9, being born blind, the reason for this is that there was a sin somewhere in your life. You're a sinner. That's why you're born blind. That was the question that Jesus' disciples asked the Lord as they're walking past the guy. Everybody knew him. He'd been in the same spot there in the temple all of his life, begging for alms because he's born blind. There's nothing else he can do. And so, you know, the guys that wanted to score brownie points with the teachers, the disciple come to, "Lord, is it because of his sin?" In other words, some sin he committed in the womb. And let's be honest, ladies, you've known children like that. Or, Lord, was it some sin that his parents were guilty of that caused him to be born blind? Now, Jesus' answer was none of the above. It's so that the glory of God could be shown in him. But Jesus had to be going, "Oh, who am I working with here?" Oh, gosh. But that's the same attitude that people had toward Zacharias and Elizabeth. Did you hear about Elizabeth? She can't have a baby. I wonder what sin they're guilty of. There must be some kind of sin at the root of the problem. So what do we find in Luke chapter 1, but two people who were described in verse 6 this way? They were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. They were righteous in the eyes of God, but not in the eyes of the people. And people whisper. They whisper. They whisper about the unknown sin that's keeping the couple childless well past childbearing years, which only then feeds it, you see. Oh, goodness, Elizabeth. Clearly, they've never repented of that sin. Clearly, God has cursed them all the way past the years that she could possibly have a baby. So there was a shame that they bore, for they heard the whispers. It's a small town. They knew what people were thinking. And honestly, even in their own minds, this is how they were raised. This is how they were taught. They too could only think there must be some sin that we've missed. But what? So poor Elizabeth. Not only did she have the specter of sin hanging over her, but she knew only too well that ultimately a woman, particularly a woman in her role as a wife, has really only one job, and that is to bear children. And if she were truly blessed of God in the minds of the people, and honestly in the mind that she was raised with, she would have a son. Well, how old were they when they got married? They had to be young. Teenagers, certainly. And so for years, she and Zacharias had cried out to the Lord. And after 10 years, you know that cry got louder. Can you hear me? We need a baby. Now. Sooner. But those prayers just seemed to hit the ceiling and fall back down like dry leaves. Because for 400 years, the Jews had been crying out to God for a blessing, for a miracle. And there was only silence from heaven. Well, what do you do? I mean, what do you do? You go to bed? You go to sleep? You get up the next morning? You're still not pregnant? You get dressed? You go to work? That's what you do. Zacharias goes to the temple to see what the day would hold. So he gets there, and whoever is his boss of his division of priests says, all right, gather around. Someone's got to go into the deepest part of the temple, next to the Holy of Holies, to make an incense offering to God. So let's not play favorites or anything. We'll just cast lots. We'll roll the dice to see whom God will choose. All right, are we ready? Here we go. We roll the dice, and the dice falls to Zacharias? Him? Why would God choose him? God has cursed him. God has left him without any children. Why would God choose him? Who knows the mind of God? All right, Zacharias, off you go. And so Zacharias goes. And he goes expecting nothing. He goes just praying he doesn't burn the temple down, lighting the incense. Why should he expect anything to happen? Why should he expect any good thing to happen there in the temple? Why? I mean, first of all, we haven't heard from you, Lord, in 400 years. And my wife and I, we've been praying all of our life. And we've heard nothing from you. And Lord, this microphone is driving me crazy. And still, and yet, when he least expected anything to happen, there was a miracle. There was a miracle. The messenger of God comes to him with the miraculous answer that Zacharias and Elizabeth had been praying for. Verse 11 says, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense. And Zacharias was troubled when he saw the angel. Fear gripped him. And the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John." Oh, wow. Brothers and sisters, God's way is not our way. His thoughts are not our thoughts, and His timing surely isn't our timing. God had been silent for 400 years. Why? I have no idea. But it seems that He was waiting for just the right time. The same way with the children of Israel there in Egypt, right? There's Moses. He's out shepherding. He sees the burning bush. He goes to take a closer look. And the voice says, "I have heard the cries of my children Israel from Egypt." They have been crying out for generations. Why now? I don't know. But God has His own timing. And it seems that it was waiting for just the right time, His time, to send His only begotten Son and the one that all the prophets had been told would come before Him, preparing the way of the Lord. And isn't it just like God to show up after 400 years of giving a miracle to no one, without giving anyone even the slightest little bit of hope? And you see it over and over again in Scripture. In Genesis chapters 15 through 17, we find God coming to Abraham and Sarah, telling them that they were going to have a child. Isn't that great? They were both in their 90s. And that should scare every woman in this room. I'm just saying. They were both in their 90s. And there was a similar story about a woman named Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1. And then there was poor little Gideon. Gideon is hiding from the Midianites who have occupied Israel. He's hiding from them down inside a wine press where he's managed to get some wheat so he can thresh it out and his family actually have food to eat, because if you do it out up where people can see, the Midianites are going to come steal it and you're going to starve. And God comes to him, inviting this boy to participate in this wonderful miracle. And Gideon does exactly what Moses did. "You got the wrong guy. I am the youngest in my family. My brothers are much more suited for this. And we're the poorest ones. I don't even own a sword. I have a hard time leading sheep. I can't lead people." And God says, "I know, you are perfect." Why? Well, because God has a way of wanting us to understand how He works. In the book of Acts, in the New Testament, in chapter 12, the church is doing something good, churchly. They've gathered together to pray, because Peter has been arrested and Herod, the king, has ordered his execution for the next morning. And so the church did what the church should do. The church gathered together to pray. And while they were praying, God miraculously rescues Peter from prison. And Peter runs through the city and he comes to the place where they're praying and he knocks on the door. And the girl comes to the door and closes the door on him. Who's at the door? "I don't know." "Who does it look like?" "Looks like Peter." "Oh, can't be him. He's in prison." They didn't believe that God would answer their prayers. They know it can't really be him. "Don't let him in. We know where Peter is. It can't be him." See, that's exactly how God works. We've seen it here over and over again. So often God's miracles come to us when we've lost all hope. Abraham and Sarah had no hope of having children. When you're a 90-year-old woman, you don't have the hope of having children. And Hannah had given up hope of having a child. Gideon had given up hope that anything could ever happen to free Israel from the Midianites. There was no strength in Israel to do it. The church had given up hope that Peter would be rescued. And in each case, when all hope was lost, God shows up. And he explained to Gideon that this was so in order that there would be no doubt that God himself had done it, and there was no other explanation. Think about it. How does a 90-year-old woman have a baby? Only God would do that, with a twisted sense of humor. How does God raise up an army to be able to free Israel? And Gideon, to his credit, raised up a huge army, and he comes to God and said, look what I've done. And God says, yeah, you need to send most of them home. What? Why? I'm still outnumbered. Yeah. You only need about 300. There's 60,000 over here. Yeah, I know. Even 300 may be too much, but it should be all right. You know, and they won. And he wanted Gideon to know that this was something that only he could do. Zacharias, you and Elizabeth are going to have a baby. And he's going to be amazing. He's going to turn the hearts of Israel back to me. And I waited until there was no doubt that this was something only I could do. And do you see the connection? Remember the story of Mary and the angel? And Mary says, how is this possible? I cannot have a baby. I'm a virgin. And the angel says, Mary, nothing is impossible with God. You know your cousin Elizabeth? She who was called barren is now in her 6th month. Brothers and sisters, you and I together have seen over and over again here in our own Sweetwater family the miracles of God, but yet still our faith is weak. We have seen and we still do not fully believe that the Holy Child of Christmas, the Holy Child of the Lord, has come to us as the child of miracles. It had been 400 years since there had been a miracle on earth. But since the child of Israel came on these last 2,000 years, the miracles have never stopped. For those who have eyes to see. For 400 years between Malachi and Luke, God was silent. The world saw nothing from God, heard nothing from God. There were no miracles. But from Luke until today, God's miracles have not stopped because he has given us his living word. The word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory of the only begotten of the Father, filled with grace and truth, bringing miracles of hope to a dying world, bringing miracles of love to a world of hate, bringing miracles of joy to a world of grief. Who is this child who brings miracles? He is Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Because God so loved you, he gave this child as a Savior. And if you believe on him, you will not perish but have eternal life. Who is this child who brings hope and joy and love and salvation? Who is this child who brings miracles? He is the one who comes when all hope is lost. He is the one who comes when all hope is lost. He is the one who brings forgiveness of sin. He is the one
who brings salvation. Brothers and sisters, he is the one. Let's pray. Father, so many times in my own life, we don't know how something's going to turn out. There's nothing more that we can do to affect it. Oftentimes it has to do with money. We're going to write our tithe check at the first of the month. And we're going to give to you. But then this doctor bill comes in more than we thought, and this air conditioner at the house breaks, and it's expensive, and at the end of the month, we don't really know if we've got enough money to cover everything. And then Kathy always says, we're not going to worry, because God always meets us at the mailbox. And sure enough, we've got no hope of being able to pay our bills at the end of the month with two small kids and two dogs and a cat. There you are. Some refund from overpaying something a year before. That's the exact amount that we need to be able to pay our bills that month. All through our life, over the years, Lord, we've seen it over and over and over again. We've had health problems in our family, and doctors just scratch their head and say, I don't know what else to do. I want to ask him why we got to pay him then. But yet you bring healing. I think about my son who, when he was a kid, a doctor said you got to keep him in a bubble all of his life. And he's out in Colorado rock climbing because of you. Because of you. Where time and again in people's lives with their marriage, with their children, with their parents, with their families, with their jobs, with their education, with their bills, so many times it seems like there's just no hope. And then there you are. So, Father, let us hear the words of the prophets from the Old Testament again and again, using that one big word from the name of Zacharias, remember. Remember how you were there for us when our kids were little. Remember how you were there for us when our parents were struggling. Remember how you were. Let us remember so that we can have faith and believe and know that the same God who was there for us then is the same God who's going to be here for us now. He gives us the child of miracles. And because that child lives, we have hope. Because that child lives, angels sing and there's joy. And so, Father, at this Christmas, there's a lot of people struggling with a lot of stuff. Remind us that the child of miracles lives. And because of that, we can have hope and joy and peace. Peace, Lord. So thank you, Father. Thank you. And give us a blessed and merry Christmas. And give us eyes to see the miracles that child brings to us. Thank you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray.